Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
We tend to have a mix of people in our presentations, as in all presentations. Some of you are holders, and you may feel you've seen some of these charts a few times, and some of you won't be holders, and so you'd like the whole story. But therefore, given that we've only got 40 minutes, I will go pretty quickly through the charts. Then we'll have some time for Q&A. But myself and my two colleagues, I'll introduce in a moment, we'll be here for a bit afterwards. So if you feel you got shortchanged on anything, we'll hang around outside. Very happy to give you some more time and really dig in. So just to introduce them, stand up. Andrew, this is our CFO at eServe Global. Andrew Haywood, James Hume, our COO at eServe Global. Cracking on. eServe Global is basically two companies under one roof. One is, we refer to often as the core business, a software business with complex history, and the other business is a joint venture with MasterCard. The software business, we create software, we sell it to companies in the emerging world. All our revenues, all our people, all our costs sit in there. However, Homesend, the joint venture, is a joint venture with MasterCard. James, who I introduced you to, and me, we're the only two people who work in Homesend. We sit on the board of Homesend with a number of MasterCard-appointed directors. We have around 35.6% of the shares in Homesend. MasterCard have the rest. And in fairness, much so we love our core business, the joint venture with MasterCard is potentially the most exciting part for our investment community. The core business, and I'm not going to dwell on the core business today. This is the software business. It has had a complex history. It's consumed cash, it's made losses, and we've been tidying it up. This is now a decent little business. We've gradually been returning towards profitability. We haven't been there yet in the last period, but we've more than halved the cost base. It will be lower again next year. We have a lot of sales activity, and it should become either a reasonable asset for the PLC or attractive to someone else. We have previously announced that there are interested parties, and that process is ongoing, and we will update the market if someone is interested. However, there are companies out there for whom our core business is a really good fit. It has good people, a good product, and some great customers, but it's burdened with PLC cost, and that can only hold it back. So we're open to whatever the future may bring, but we've worked very hard. It's a decent business. It's not what we're here to talk about today, which is really Homesend, the joint venture with MasterCard. This is a platform for cross-border money transfer. That is what it does. We formed it about 9 years ago, and then 4 years ago, MasterCard joined us and bought into it as a joint venture. So we have just over a third of the shares, MasterCard have the rest. And the past few years have seen MasterCard turning it into a company like any other part of MasterCard. The people, the processes, the way of doing business, the compliance. It's a MasterCard company. In terms of the business model, it's about international money transfer, which we all know has been historically complex, difficult, expensive, not great fun. And the business model aims to take a small slice of commission on every dollar that crosses the platform. That simple. How is the chargeable element made up? There are three elements of value here. Of course, a commission is charged on the transaction, but the commission or the charge to a customer might be a blended mix of providing the transaction itself, and we provide through Homesend a network across 100 countries. There's the FX component and liquidity. All these three things can be provided to a customer who wants to transport money from one country to another. We recently did a fundraise, significant fundraise. Our part of it was around 20 million euros. And it comes at a critical point in the history of this investment. So when we formed HomeSend and when MasterCard joined us in HomeSend, typically it was aimed at people who might be in a migrant situation or frequent international travelers or living away from home. They might be sending $100 from country A to country B, $120, $150, fairly low average transactions, but on a regular basis. However, MasterCard have a huge number of bank type customers, and the opportunity there that they have brought to the table is to use the MasterCard company, its brand, its sales engine, if you like, to promote the HomeSend service, the cross-border service, to its own customer set. And it has some 24,000 customers of that type in the world. So it's a very significant network that they bring of their own customers. We did the fundraise in order to help HomeSend build more capability and function to make it more attractive, more able when facing that bank customer marketplace. And so if you have some 24,000 customers, then only being able to onboard 16 a year is not going very fast. So as an example of where the future investment will go, it's in automating and beefing up the ability to onboard those customers. And so we're taking that from 16 to 48 banks a year. And honestly, if we could go faster, I'm sure we would, but things go at the pace they go. The future focus, though, is on higher value transactions. Yes, the history with money transfer organizations, those people who support people sending $100 at a time, that history is not the complete future. The biggest part of the future is to support banks. And a bank with a business-to-business transaction is much more likely to send a much higher transaction value. And in MasterCard Send is a domestic US service. HomeSend is described as MasterCard Send for cross-border, MasterCard Send XB. And therefore, it looks like a MasterCard product. The company behind it, HomeSend, it's a MasterCard company. We just happen to have our share of it. At the fundraise, the total funds called for were of the order of 50 million euros. We've raised our share of that, and it was across two different pots, if you like, a need to invest more in the infrastructure and the overhead, if you like, and the rest to provide a liquidity function. So we've raised the money. We're just on the last knockings of working out how to now put it into HomeSend, and we'll update when we have more visibility of that. But it totally transforms this business in terms of its reach, its capability, and its ability to service the world's largest banks. The market we started with was one of some 600 billion US dollars a year. So when we were looking only at $100, 150, migrant to migrant, building worker in Dubai, sending something home to the Philippines, maid in Paris, sending something home to Indonesia, those were the amounts. But a business-to-business transaction is very different. And instead of facing the money transfer organizations, those people who put their logo outside the news agents along Chiswick High Road or any high street near you, these customers are now banks. The pipeline is very bank heavy. And some of those will be signed on HomeSend paper and some on MasterCard paper. And so the pivot that we've been seeing over the last year is from migrant flows to bank flows, from $100 to the sort of business a correspondent bank might want to do. And for correspondent banks, very often their networks are ineffective, they're slow, you must all have experienced that. And it's just not the core business. On top of that, the compliance burdens are getting heavier, they need to provide liquidity. All of these are not necessarily the core business. What a bank may more likely want to do is provide a great customer service to the individuals using it, or the other banks using it. And they can't do that very easily, and that's why a lot of challengers are eating their breakfast. Well, here we've provided a super capability that MasterCard is now offering to its own customers, and that is the next phase, is the take-up of that service. This market is one of $22 trillion a year. So when we had a $600 billion a year market, and that was comprised of all those $100 that each migrant might send around the world, person-to-person payments, in the business-to-business world, that is more like $22 trillion. Now, let's not be naive. No business is going to be able to address all of that $22 trillion, and we don't expect that of HomeSend. But it should be able to address quite a large amount, and that will become clear, but it's certainly many trillions. Exactly where we'll end up drawing the line, I don't yet know, but we do see, with the increase of the capability of HomeSend, the ability to address more usage cases. But that market is $22 trillion. MasterCard Send for Cross-Border, I think I mentioned this. This is just what it's called. This is what MasterCard called it. We call it HomeSend, but if you're a MasterCard customer, you want to see that you have a MasterCard service, and that's what it is in effect. Now, our journey to this point, and to the point where we did our very recent fundraise, has been like an extended startup. But it's just on that cusp where it should be moving from startup through to being a fast-growing business. And what would that look like? Well, given that the big volumes and therefore the ability for large commission flows comes from bank customers, that's the sort of moment we're at. At the time of the fundraise, two or three bank customers had sent their first live transactions, and now that's more like five or six. I'm not trying to indicate any of those are in full commercial launch, but there's already been movement, and there's a significant pipeline of bank-type customers. The phase we look for next is some of those going into full commercial launch, and that will change the volume profile. So we're at a point where we should be moving from an extended startup period through to something much more rewarding and potentially much faster. This is a very scalable business. HomeSend, I'm not sure we've broken 50 people yet, but it's of that number of order of that number of people, because HomeSend's model does not include a customer-facing element. Its customers are another bank, a money transfer organization. They have their customer-facing element. HomeSend is more like a black box. It doesn't need that, and so it can massively scale the amount of volume it does without having to ram in infinitely more overhead. Key point, what is HomeSend? Well, it's based in Brussels. It's a private company governed by Belgian law. And this is quite an important concept. It's a private company governed by Belgian law. The management sit there. Some of the systems sit there in other parts of the world. It's where James and I often go for board meetings. But it's governed by Belgian company law, as well as by a joint venture between ourselves and MasterCard. So there's quite a lot of governance and protection provided by that fact. Newsflow, we've had a complex history. Some of the patient ones amongst you who've been with us for a while know that. And when a company is a bit of a startup, there isn't a lot to say. It's about, look, we've got some more desks, or, well, it's happened recently, we've taken out half a floor extra in the centre of Brussels to put some more people in and so forth. But for our story to remain true, then that news flow should pick up. And so what we said at the time of our fundraise, for those of you who participated in that, nothing's changed. It is going roughly as we thought. However, I would expect there to be, for that story to remain true, there to be more news to come. Otherwise, our story will have fallen behind. But at the moment, there's really no change since the fundraise, and it is roughly where we thought it would be at the moment. So that's encouraging for us. Most encouraging, though, is that helps us simplify the story going forward. When it's real volumes, potentially if the core business is acquired by someone, it's just about HomeSend. And that's a much simpler story, and it takes away the concerns about the performance of the software business. And as I say, it's a very good business, but we know that many of you in the room are in this for the potential of HomeSend, and our opinion of that potential is undimmed. And it was a strong feeling at the fundraiser, so I'm sure some of you remember. Right, I said I would skip through those charts rather quickly. I've just got a couple of facts and figures that I wanted to share with you. So when you look at us, so we're now on the informal part of the presentation. Who should you be thinking of us about? I've said we're a startup. I've said we've had this complex history. It can be challenging as an investor to have had the patience that one or two of you have had. However, what can we see? I'm not trying to give you anything speculative. I'm not trying to guide you here, for the avoidance of doubt, to the value of our stake in the future. What I'm trying to suggest to you is the type of company that we can sort of see the front end of being able to consider us within. So this is not about valuation. I'm not guiding you to valuation. However, I note that Revolut, the last time they put their head up above the parapet, were valued at $1.7 billion. And I think that was US. But their team size at that point was 500. And that number of people will have to grow in line with the customers. Now, currently, they have some 2 million customers globally. Currently, I think, was around the start of the year. HomeSend has had, give or take, 2 million unique customers. So, no, they're not servicing 2 million a day. But I'm just trying to give you a feel that the scale isn't millions of miles apart. And yet, we only have 50 people. Their transaction volume, by the way, is about 15 billion. And we've indicated, and you can do the maths from the publicly available information, that we aim to get to the best part of about 4 billion of volume next year, on which we take our commission skim. So, yeah, Revolut's far bigger, but it's not crazy. It's not light years away. But then I look at TransferWise. They have 1,000 staff. And their revenue is 117 million GBP for 7 million of profit. So they're valued at 1.6 billion. But TransferWise got 1,000 staff. They've got 200 vacancies. We have 50. We can sort of see how we get to 70 staff, maybe 80 in HomeSend. I don't know how we get to 1,000. We're not consumer facing. And so on that point of scalability, you again can just start to see the company in which we sit. Monzo, revenue 1.5 million GBP. Valuation, 1 billion. And I assume that's GBP again. Team size, 450, expected to double in the next couple of years. Well, I'd still be pretty... Could we double from our 50? Maybe. But it's not really connected to volume. We're just building out the capability to make it more attractive to the widest possible number of usage cases. Now, these guys were valued on their 1.5 million of GBP and their billion valuation. They lost 33 million in 2017. Now, I don't say if that's good or bad. I mean, you know, executives in PLC houses shouldn't throw stones too easily about other people. You don't know the real currency of what's good and bad for someone else. But then Azimo, valued at 100 million with a volume. So when I talk about volume, that's the amount of stuff sent through. It's not the revenue. A volume of 1 billion. Now, in HomeSend, the plan is to get to the best part of 4 billion in volume next year, based on the investment that we've secured and we will start to put into HomeSend. So the company we keep, and I've cherry-picked, okay, there's no shame in cherry-picking, but you can see the company we are keeping. This is a serious business. It's going beyond startup, and it's within touching distance of chucking out some metrics that are popular in the market, and yet it seems much more scalable. And very importantly, this is a MasterCard company. Some of the companies I've talked about, you can't invest in those. But here, although, you know, it's been an interesting journey, this is a rare ability to invest through into an exciting fintech, potentially. So although I described it as Q&A, I wanted to take the opportunity to talk to you about the company we're within spitting distance of keeping. And it's not miles and miles away. It has seemed like a long journey. The journey's got a lot shorter. Anyway, real questions instead of me going on again.
The differences between these companies and you is that a lot of these companies are in total control of their own PR and news flow.
Yeah.
They set the agenda. One of the frustrations of being a shareholder in eServe is that it seems that MasterCard, not you guys, are setting the agenda. Is there any sign of that changing?
No, they don't set the agenda, and I know exactly why you said it, William.
Wise.
Yeah, no, no, I...
You know the question.
So we won't easily comment on MasterCard's business, because in our agreement with them, if we want to say something about them, we would go and check with them, and that is absolutely reasonable. When it's HomeSend business, we can comment on it, as long as it's not commercially sensitive. However, for something to be market sensitive, you have to get past this startup phase. So when I made my quip, I hate to say, I think I said last time I met a couple of you, which is, you know, getting three more desks isn't market worthy. That's what I mean by startup. It's kind of that stuff. But if some of these banks now that are being signed, and more are expected to be signed by year end, start to then move to that hopefully final stage of commercial launch, then I would think that would fairly quickly, and I'm not putting a timescale, but you know it can't be endless, start to make a difference to the numbers. So to give you an example, a new customer doing business-to-business transactions, just one customer in a quarter at HomeSend has gone into the kind of top 10 HomeSend customers, and the overall average transaction value in more or less a quarter has gone up by 50%, because they're doing not $100, they're doing a transaction like $9,000. And so it's the very first glimmer of what that move to a from person to person to more business to business might do, and we expect to do for the business, because it's real hard getting to the best part of $4 billion of volume if every transaction is $100. It's long, it's boring, it's boring. So that's, yeah. So we expect there to be more news flow. I didn't really expect there to be a lot more of interest between the fundraise and Christmas, although I've just mentioned a couple of, I don't think they're market sensitive things, but just colour, that it's going in the right direction. That's why we think it's going in the right direction. But if it's not market sensitive, we have the ability to comment on HomeSend. It's just, we don't want to desperately scrabble to frankly put rubbish in front of you about the new paint job in the office. It's just not interesting. Should get more interesting soon though.
In B2B, hi. Are tokens a competitor for you?
Tokens. When I said at the start, no hard questions, I meant, please bring on the hard questions because James here will be thrilled. Did you understand the question, James?
No, tokens. Can I hear it again? Tokenization?
Is tokenization of B2B business a threat or a strong competitor to the B2B business you're seeking to build?
No, it would be only a support. MasterCard's quite into tokenization. Tokenization and potentially some digital asset use as well. Both of those, HomeSend would be able to support, whether that be sending or receiving-wise. Much the same as with things like blockchain. So HomeSend's done quite a lot of experiments with, indeed, with Ripple as well, where you can have a destination of a standard and an origin of standard, destination of a blockchain. So both of those, I'd say digital assets, tokenization, because one thing is just a removal of something else, and blockchain, would all be complementary technologies in the MasterCard and sort of HomeSend world. And certainly not a threat for what MasterCard are offering to the banks, or indeed if they chose to use some tokenization, which we've sampled with before, we could put that inside the platform.
Yeah, so we kind of don't care what the technology is to an extent.
The revenues that we earn, or MasterCard earns, from the service that HomeSend will be providing, where will the cash flows from those revenues sit? And therefore, at what point, because if you would think that that is going to be the reason that Mastercard has to buy HomeSend.
But that's a very good insight. So if I may play it back to you, I think what you said is, well, if you're a big American corporate and one of your companies was earning very large flows of cash, your choices are you create a dividend policy from which the other joint venture partner might benefit, or you feel time pressure and feel you have to maybe get full ownership. So I can't predict MasterCard, but we would not be averse to a future where we were offered proper value, proper fintech value for our stake.
So MasterCard is invoicing in HomeSend's name?
If MasterCard is a channel to market, their sales force promotes MasterCard Send for cross-border, so they might invoice and it then flows as it flows. Or HomeSend might invoice.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we can just put our hands together for John.
Oh, well, thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.